rules will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Aaron, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, and welcome to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. XG is going to be getting here soon, maybe. There was just some confusion on today's episode, which was all caused by me. So my apologies, XG, and to everybody who watches this only for XG. I know you are out there. We're going to get into it. We got a great show for you. You know, this week, I got three shows planned. And they're all wonderful. And this is kind of what I want to get into. You know, we're going to talk ghosts today. We're going to talk Anunnaki this week. And we're going to have Eddie Bravo in talking time machines. So it's a great week to get into this. This is what the show's all about. You know, we've been doing a lot of dark art stuff. And I kind of want to just look into some other parts of the world, because there's so much going on in the world. And it's just the focus on geopolitical. You could drive yourself crazy. But before we do it, it's everybody's favorite time. We pay the bills. I know you guys love that. So thank you for your support. Again, today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Absolute Extract. Go to abx.org. They have everything, man. We are in the glory days of marijuana and smoking weed. If your state doesn't allow you to smoke weed, just know you live in an apartheid area of the country. It's ridiculous that if I stand on some point part of this soil of this country, I'm legal. I stand in another place, it's illegal, okay? It's time to start getting in grandma and grandpa's face aggressively, make them eat pot brownies, blow smoke in their face, whatever it takes, get their cat high, whatever it takes to get them to vote for the legal full use. None of this with a card crap so they can take away your guns. And by the way, I'm joining the NRA this week because I'm going to fight this shit. I've decided nothing in politics matters except for keeping the guns. That's my new thing. That's my new party. Fuck bitches. Get paid. Keep guns. That's my new party. And nothing against women, because you're not the bitches. I'm talking these fucking trailer trash. Okay. Anyways, I'm getting myself deep. Go to Absolute Abstract at abx.org, and man, just help us out, man. Just help us out. They're not even looking for promo codes or anything. They just want you to go check out their stuff. They are the Reebok of weed. The difference between them and Reebok is they pay good money to the people who work for them, okay? So go check that out. Again, I got another BetDSI for all your bet needs. Go to BetDSI, use the promo code HAT100. And you could get, they will double whatever deposit you put into their account. They will double your money up to $500. I just got hit up today. We are moving forward with the conspiracy bets. You're going to be able to bet on conspiracies. How great is that? It's time to put your money where your mouth is. Go to BetDSI, use the promo code HAT100, and get yourself get in on it, man. Make some bets. Are the lizard people? All that stuff. Get going to that. And again, our good friends at Caveman Coffee. Go to cavemancoffee.com, okay? Do that. Go to cavemancoffee.com. Use the promo code Tinfoil Hat, and you can get 15% off your offers. Again, this is an independent company ran by my good friend, Tate Fletcher. And they got everything you want. They got teas. They got nitros cold brew. They got everything. Coffee, mild roast, mammoth roast, you name it. CC winter roast, all that, man. The good coffee for you. Done right, prepared right. Not this turn and burn crap as I drink Starbucks, okay? Get it. Go get Caveman Coffee. Help out the show and help out our friends. We have a bunch of great shows coming up for you. So if you love the show and you want to support, this is a great way to support the show and to come meet all your heroes in one place. Obviously, tomorrow night's Brody Stevens event. that is sold out. The first show sold out. The second one, it's the inaugural Enjoy It, Brody Stevens Festival of Friendship show. You can go there, grab tickets. All proceeds go to the Comedy Store's new organization that deals with mental health. So that's very nice. All right. Sam Tripoli and his Filthy Friends are at the Long Beach Harvels March 7th. And that's at 9 p.m. And then this weekend, that's right, Tinfoil Hat is at Spokane Friday, March 8th at the 10 p.m. show. Myself, Eddie Bravo. And then we're the next day at 4:30, we're at the Tacoma Comedy Club. You can find all those links at samtripoli.com, okay? And then March 16th, it is myself and XG in the place to be. We're at Tiff's Grill and Ale House in Morris Plains, New Jersey. First show is sold out. Second show, grab those tickets, homeboy. Let's go. Let's blow it out. Let's blow New Jersey out. I'm bringing a Mexican to New Jersey. Let's get weird, everybody. And then, obviously, Arizona's coming up at the end of the month. We're very excited. We're doing Arizona at the end of the month. We're doing the House of Comedy at Phoenix, Arizona. That is March 29th. That is a Friday at 7:30 show. I had someone tell me they'd love to come, but they can't make it because of traffic. Are you fucking for real? Get a helicopter. Leave early. God. Camp out the night before. And then we announced it last week, but we're super excited. We're going to be in Tucson on Saturday. Eddie Bravo, myself, XG. We're at the 191 Tool. You go there, 191tool.com. That's Tool with an E. Grab those tickets now. And I'm proud to announce that it has been announced that Tinfoil Hat will be at this year's Skankfest, everybody. Myself, Eddie Bravo, XG will be in New York City. That's in June. We'll be there, dude. So we're coming to New York, guns a-blazing. I told him, give us the big room, because Tinfoil Hat people coming out. Huh, Ronan? You shady fucks, come and hang out with me. And the final thing, because I know you guys love when I do this, but the final thing I want to announce, that our new t-shirt's up. That's right, the new t-shirt's up. Go to tinfoilhatpod.com. Go do that, and you can find the new t-shirts up. Our Clockwork Orange t-shirt is up with myself and Eddie Bravo, and the Raiders t-shirt's up. So you got Raiders, Tinfoil Hat, and at the end of the month, we will have a brand new shirt for you, the Waking Arizona Tour shirt, and I think you guys will enjoy it. All right, so today's show is going to be great, because again, we kind of talked about it earlier. I want to get out of just doing all the, deep state stuff. Obviously I will always talk about child sex trafficking and fighting and getting the word out on that. I will always fight that. But the Trump, Clinton stuff, you can't do it all the time. It will drive you nuts. Like Aaron cries the whole time I do those shows. He goes, bad man, stop. Bad man, stop. And he just pounds the keys. And it's kind of fun to watch, actually. But so I wanted to mix it up. So I'm very happy to have our next guest on. I met him. Where are we here? I met him at the Houston, which we're going back to Houston, at the Houston's secret group. And he's like, hey, dude, I have this really good show that I do. It's called Just Paranormal. And I deal with and I go ghost hunting. And I'd love to have you on. And I'm super excited we could get him on. So please welcome from Just Paranormal. Paranormal. Sam, slow down today. You've had a lot of coffee. It's paranormal, just paranormal. Please welcome JP Doyle. Sorry about that. That is the worst introduction I've ever done, and it's because I'm jacked on caffeine.
No, you're good, man. I'm jacked on a little bit of speed, so I think we're going to be pretty crazy this show.
Thank you for your honesty, dude. This guy goes hard in the paint. He's like, dude, we're doing meth. We're talking about ghosts. Thanks for coming on, dude. I appreciate you, JP. Thanks for reaching out, getting on the show. We had talked in Houston that we were going to get you on, and now we made it happen. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your doc that's coming out? I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on. It's kind of surreal because I'm a big fan and I love what you guys do on Tinfoil Hat.
Thank you,
dude. And I recently saw your stand-up in Houston. And real quick, I want to get some dick sucking out of the way, because if you haven't seen Sam live, holy shit, dude. You had me leaning over laughing so hard, and I was sober. So I was laughing really hard, man. That was a lot of fun. Top five for sure. Not even joking. So.
Thank you, dude. I do appreciate that. We love all the dick sucking we can get on the show, because on the chat boards and the comments, it sometimes goes the other way. I appreciate that. If you'd like to see what JP's talking about, go to my YouTube channel. We're now putting out clips from my special, and I hope you guys can enjoy that. And I very much appreciate the kind words, man. And it means a lot. You know, this show's changed my life. And I can even the guy, there was a guy who I used to do a show called the International Bad Boys with, and I'm thinking about bringing it back. And we got in this huge fight, and because of that fight, this show came about. And I thanked him the other day for that, for like, you know, pissing me off enough that I didn't want to do the show. And now we have the show, and it's a blessing. So I would never have been able to meet you in Houston if it wasn't for the show. So I'm very thankful for the fans and everybody, and I appreciate your kind words. And hopefully I can help you get some shit going with your new doc that you got going out. And I love it, man. I think docs are the best things now. I think everybody should put out their own doc. I love it. You don't need anybody anymore. Put out your doc and just release it on YouTube or Amazon Prime or wherever you want to release it. And I think it's great. So tell me a little bit about your paranormal doc.
Yeah, so it's called Madhouse, a paranormal documentary. And basically it was it's four guys. It's me, my friend Steve, my friend Keith, and my friend Alex. And we all live in different parts of the country. One lives in Alabama, one lives in North Carolina, and one in New York. And somehow we became friends online, but I'm talking like close friends. Like we talk like on the daily almost. And well, not almost, we do talk on the daily.
That's correct.
And our wives kind of get kind of nervous about it, but it's okay. and man, we just said, man, let's do something. Like let's not let this, you know, this distance keep us from making something great. So we decided to meet up at this place called Madison Seminary in Ohio. It's in Madison, Ohio. I mean, blocks away from, I think it's Lake Erie that it's right next to. And, yeah, we just got together and we didn't realize what it was going to be. And it just kind of turned into this intense two nights there. And we were like, man, we got to turn this into a documentary or some type of film or something. And yeah, that's the route that we went to take. And we're trying to go about it as professional as possible. The quality of the film is going to be great. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the trailer just
yet. Yes, I did, dude. I mean, I can't wait to talk about that. It's pretty amazing, man. So you guys got together, you started keep going with what you said, man. Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought your trailer
was
amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, we're trying to do it the right way, you know, and we're tired of YouTube ripping us off. If you don't know this, YouTube is like the biggest pain in the ass in the world. They demonetize ghost hunting videos.
Really?
I mean, ghost hunting videos. Yes. They demonetize everything.
Why is that demonetized? Okay, let's just think. I'm Hertz Rent-A-Car, okay? Why would I want my ad to run on a ghost hunting video? What is the purpose of that? Well, how does that, I always say, like with my show, you know, it's just like, okay, let's say I've nothing but people believe in lizard people on my show, right? We're just the lizard people show of record, right? And why do you care if they believe in lizard people, if they're buying or renting cars and buying your products? And it wasn't mad. If people want to learn about ghosts, the paranormal, ghost chasing, and all that stuff, excuse me, why does that hurt Rent-A-Car? I don't get that.
I don't understand it either. It's super frustrating. And then recently I found out that they have ads on fucking, you were talking about always bringing to light, you know, the child pedophilia rings and stuff like that. And I don't know if you've seen, but on YouTube, the new thing now is they're monetizing these types of videos where these freaking pedophiles are.
Well,
are
I'll tell you why they do that, dude. Because those videos are how they recruit people. That's the new way. There's people monitoring who's talking about that, following you down dark holes. And if you're in a position where they could use you for something, that's how they blackmail you. And Google is owned by all the people who do all the shady shit. It is what it is. You know, it just is what it is, man. It's a dark, this whole, I love everybody freaking out about Michael Jackson right now. Like, the guy's been dead for 15 years. We've known this for 10 more. I mean, it's like, you're freaking out that this is what's happening? Like, how did you not know that? His own sister, who ended up getting like estranged from the family because of it, now she's also a little crazy, came out and said she saw the checks. I mean, at some point, it's just got to be like, you just refuse to believe that bad things happen in the world. It's just weird.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So we decided, you know what, we're not going to put this on YouTube for free. You know, it's about time. I've been doing this since I was 14 and I'm 25. And I'm talking, I've really been doing this since I was 14, not like dabbling in it. Like I was on a legit team when I was 14 years old. And I put a lot of time into it. And I know I listened to, you know, all of the comedy circuit podcasts like yours and Joe Rogan's and Bobby Lee and Theo Von. I listened to all of those podcasts and they always talk about how they hit that 10-year mark in the comedy world. And that's when, you know, things start rolling, things start moving. I said, you know what, I'm going to apply that train of thought to this. I've been doing it for about 10 years now. I want to start trying to turn this into some type of career or some type of, you know, something.
Oh, well, so. I love that, dude. And that's an amazing thing. It's like I've been, you know, whenever I see people in, you know, that are artists or they're stuck in something that they're not joining, I go, whatever your passion is, there's a way to make a dollar off it, and you just got to go hard in the paint on it, and just know this too will take time. Everything takes time. It's not going to be overnight. It takes time. And the fact that you were ghost hunting at 14, you know, is pretty amazing. What made you want to get in to just the paranormal?
So it's really strange because my reasoning is kind of like a Mandela effect. You're pretty familiar with Mandela
effects,
right?
Yeah, for sure. We've done an episode on it, yeah.
I think I listened to that one. And it's strange because I literally have the memory of watching the show Ghost Adventures with my mom before she passed away. And but the show didn't come out until after she passed away. But
oh,
I have a memory of watching the show with
God.
Her. Yeah, it's really, really weird. But we used to watch those type of shows together, and she would always tell me, you know, you should try to get into this. And my mom, she had a rough life growing up. She was, you know, in the drugs and all kinds of stuff. I've been in and out of the system and stuff. And at the end there, she really was trying to make an impact on my life, right? So she's trying to, you know, talk me into doing cool stuff, try new things. And I was a bitch, and I'm still kind of a bitch about it, but I was more of a bitch then. And when she passed away in 2008. And I said, you know what, if anybody's going to talk to me, it's going to be her. So I actually got a voice recorder and I set it next to her ashes and I captured her voice telling my uncle that she missed him.
Really?
Really.
Okay, so let's get into this. I've watched your video. I've watched other ghost hunting, if that's what we're calling it. Is that the official thing?
Mm-hmm.
What is that recorder that you have that you use? What is that?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because this is one of those things that's controversial in the field. It's called a Panasonic RRDR60. And they're super, super rare recorders. They were built in the early 2000s by Panasonic. And Panasonic actually stopped making the recorder because people were trying to get their money back for them because they were saying they were getting voices of people that aren't there. So these doctors and lawyers bought this recorder to use, and they're catching these weird voices that they have no explanation for. So of course, you know, some ghost hunting person or a paranormal person got a hold of this and he started using it, and before you know it catches fire in the field, and now they're worth $3,000.
Hold on, so nobody's making them anymore?
They can't, because the chip. Okay, so the theory I've heard why is because there's two reasons why they think the microphone works so well, or the recorder works well, is because the microphone's not protected. So it picks up different frequencies that normal voice recorders shouldn't pick up. So it's picking up these strange electrical sounds and stuff that it shouldn't be picking up, maybe tapping into wherever these dimensions that these spirits possibly could lie.
Yeah.
And then also the actual recording chip, since it is a digital recorder, the recording has to actually be somehow imprinted on this chip, and then it has to be changed to an audible sound. Well, this chip that was inside these recorders is no longer made anymore. You can't find them manufactured. So a lot of people think that it has to do with this chip. And some of the biggest, greatest minds in the field, like Bill Chappell, he's a engineer, and he does stuff for Ghost Adventures, the TV show and stuff. He's a really smart guy. He tried to reverse engineer it, and he couldn't do it. So now it's just one of those things. It's like if you have one, it's like the Holy Grail. I found mine on Letgo in Colorado for $20.
Oh my God. That's like some antique roadshow shit right there. Right?
Yeah,
that's some antique.
Poor lady, she did not know what she had. And it was funny because she actually tried to rip me off because she had it listed for $10. And she said, oh no, baby. And obviously by how I'm talking, oh no, baby, it's $20. And I'm like, are you sure? And I said, the ad says 10. Oh no, I was supposed to change it. I was like, all right, she thought she was getting one over on me. And I'm like, all right, well, I still win.
Oh my God. So the factory that made it, why does the A1 go to those people? Hey, whatever third world country, they pay them $1 to make that. Pay them $5 to make that.
You would think. I have a friend that has, I think he said he has 11 of them. He bought a whole bunch of them before they got exploded. So he's sitting on, what, $3,000 a pop, and they're only going up more and more. It's incredible. But the great thing about that recorder is no matter where I take it and no matter where I use it, if there's a activity there, for some reason, it picks stuff up. I'm looking this way because I actually have it in my case over here. It just picks stuff up, man.
That is so crazy. Now, let's get into, in your opinion, what you believe ghosts are. Like, I've always had my theory that, you know, a lot of times when you hear that a spirit exists or a ghost exists, it's always based on that there was some kind of violent kind of death, right? They died a violent death, and I believe that, like, when you die, your soul, which is your spirit, gets reabsorbed into the universe, and then we could get into, you know, whether you believe in the Tibetan Book of the Dead or, excuse me, Matt, or whatever you believe in, we could get into that. But I believe there's a transfer. And when a really violent death happens, unfortunately, that transfer can get messed with. It could get knocked off its loop, let's say, off its tracks, and then it gets stuck in between the here and there. And that here and there, it's stuck and it can't go to either place. So it's stuck in whatever building or wherever the violent thing happened. What are your thoughts on that whole thing?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. We're about to go deep, homeboy, like you say, because there's so many different routes that this could take. I've even come up with a theory that it could even coincide with the simulation theory. Because what we're seeing is just some type of glitch in the simulation, or there's more than one simulation going on at a time. So we're actually catching a glimpse into another simulation in that moment.
Wow, I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm not sure.
Or those are archons, right? Maybe archons who are running the whole thing, and you just happen to catch them doing some shady shit that moment. Like, you know, maybe your recorder can record the people running the simulation. That might be interesting. You know, back after 9/11, I used to tour with a group called Axis of Evil. We would do gigs, and I was in it before. We were called the Arabian Nights because I was Armenian. I got included. That's a long story. But one day, my friend Maz is on the phone, and he goes to make a call, and nothing. There's no signal. There's no nothing. And he goes, hello, hello, hello. And someone goes, hello. He goes, who is this? And they hang up on him. And I believe that was the beginning of like him being like tapped and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he just happened to get this. Somehow the connection got weird and he caught them. And maybe that's what your recorder's doing. I mean, that's possible too. That like maybe it's recording the people running the whole. You know, if you watch, what's that one world on HBO? What's it called?
Westworld.
Westworld. Maybe you're catching the people running that simulation, something along the lines of that. I find that interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I said, there's so many routes that ghosts and spirits can take that I don't think a lot of people think about. I grew up in a Christian background. Actually, at one point, I thought I was going to be a pastor, which is really hilarious because I'm far from a pastor nowadays. But I grew up in a really Christian like home, and whenever I was, you know, 10 years old or so, that's when I started getting in the church really hardcore. But I still believe in spirits, but I was a Baptist and they don't really believe in spirits. But Catholicism, they believe in purgatory and things. So if you're going based on that, I think that if you die, why would your free will be surrendered? Because as long as we're alive, we still have free will.
Right.
So I would imagine when we pass that our free will still be the same. So that's why you have people haunting chairs. You know, there's some people, this chair is haunted. Why the fuck would a chair be haunted? That's the goofiest thing I ever heard. But maybe this was Bob's favorite chair that he masturbated in every single fucking night, and he just had a connection to it.
That's interesting. I mean, we have heard of things being haunted, like dolls, stuff like that. And just people, that's where people go and reside when they pass on. That's, I never even thought about that. That is interesting, dude. That is,
yeah, like there's a familiarity with objects when objects are haunted, or like if a location is haunted. Yeah. And you know that's the last place you remember, so you stay there, or you go back to your childhood home. Or I just don't think free will stops whenever we're dead.
Let me ask you, well, again, if you believe in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, you go to this other world somewhat. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm sure I'm not getting it 100% correct, but that you go to this other world based upon how you were in this world is what they let you do to the next world. They might send you this other place, but if you were good, they send you. Well, first of all, you're not supposed to go into the light. That's what I'm told. But they make you, if you need to learn more lessons, they make you go back in, and then you pick who your parents are based on them having sex. You're like, oh, I like their technique. So you jump into that.
Yeah.
Well, you're so weird, Aaron. You think about that? You said, man, your parents.
I want to be a reverse cowgirl, baby. That's what I want.
What happens if you're like in an interracial blow bang? You're like, mom's doing service, and you just jump in there. That'd be crazy, right?
If you're in an interracial blow bang, you're a man of mystery because you don't know who your dad's going to be. So it kind of keeps it fun, right?
That's great, dude. So, I mean, that totally fits into it. Why do we always think ghosts are old people?
I don't know. I saw this funny meme. It said, what are we going to do when ghosts of 2005 start haunting and you hear it's Britney, bitch, when you're laying in your room in the dark?
That's very funny.
That's going to be some shit, man.
And especially I was thinking about this in Los Angeles. Like, you know, unfortunately, we are we're destroying all the character of this town. We are knocking it down, and foreigners are coming in, and they are building these condos that are just, they look like Legos were put together to make a condo, and they have no character. We're losing all of our history. But when things get knocked down, do they release those spirits, do you think? Are spirits released back into the world? What happens to them? Do they find somewhere else?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting idea, because I've thought about that too, because you hear that guy, Zach Bagans, he's the biggest ghost hunter, you know, on TV right now. And he bought that demon house and he filmed a documentary in there. And then when he was done with the film, he tore the house down. And I was thinking, what the fuck? You just released all that evil on the world, or now somebody's going to build their house on top of that and then they're going to have to deal with whatever shit was going on there? I don't think that it really did anything. I think you're better at leaving the building intact and telling people, you know, there's this possibility that this energy can be there, you know?
That's so interesting. Wow. Tell me about the demon house. Why is it the demon house?
Supposedly there was, I can't remember the exact number of demons in the house. And it was just,
what was it, a hostel? It was a hostel?
Yeah, it's in Gary, Indiana. It's a hostel. It was in Gary, Indiana. And I don't know what caused the haunting. They don't really know for some reason. It just supposedly had all these demons in it. But the thing that made it really interesting was that there's police reports and case managers for like CPS, like the Indiana CPS or whatever. And they talk about like kids fucking walking up the walls and shit.
Oh my God. Oh,
so that's what made that case so interesting, because like these people, you know, they're putting their jobs on the line by saying these things. Obviously they're not going to be, they shouldn't lie about that. You know,
so. I've always believed in that. There's something else going on. When I was a kid we used to have a hat that my babysitter would have. And we'd take the hat and we'd put it over a toy truck we had. We put it over the hat and then we'd take the hat up and it would be gone. And like I was a kid, I didn't realize what we had there. It would be gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember this sure shit.
Oh,
I remember
that's crazy.
That, right? And yeah. Then I've been at the Comedy Store twice. Twice I was at the Comedy Store. I've seen spirits at the or something happened. Like I was sitting in the back of the green room in the main room by myself. This is back when the Comedy Store wasn't jumping at all. So you could easily be by yourself. Now there's people everywhere. But we used to sit in the back. I was sitting in the back in the green room. And because it used to be a an old jazz club, they would have dancers, women dancing. And you would, you know, so they had a shower back there. So I was in the back, the back green room, in the, I guess the locker room, you'd say it is. And I'm just writing down my set. And suddenly, and I'm the only one there, I hear the faucet turn on the shower, and the shower starts going. Yep. And I was just like, what the fuck, man?
What? Yeah, man. And did you feel the vibe change in the room? Like,
oh,
could
yeah,
you feel
for
it?
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, I ran like a kid, like a little tiny baby who could run. I ran like that.
And then it's funny because I probably would have ran too at first and then ran back.
Ran and got your recorder. So then the second time was, I was, this was back again when the store was dead. I was doing, I used to have a show called The Naughty Show. We're bringing it back, but, and it was this full adult variety show. And I would advertise by putting posters all over the comic store. Comic store would let me. So I put posters all over the place. And I was trying to put a poster in the main room. And I had to get tape. I couldn't thumbtack it. So I walk into the main room, and it's Jeff Ross and a bunch of the roast writers were sitting there. It was just them. This was back when the comic store main room wasn't going at all. And so I said, I walked in, they were there, realized I needed tape, walked back in, and they were there. And I'm like, hey, listen, I'm going to run a block down, grab something real quick, come back. So I run down the street, I come back. It couldn't have been more than 5 minutes. I come back, and they're still writing there. And I walk right by them, and I go, but now the lobby is pitch black. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what just happened there? I go, did anybody pass through here? And they're like, no, nobody passed through. I go, okay, that's weird. So I go into the lobby, and if you've been to the comic store, you know it's the main lobby. There's a street entrance, and then you go up these stairs to this lobby, and all the lights are off. The only light in the room were coming from the front door that was at the front that's glass. So it was like just street lighting. And I look up on the wall, and there is a giant light, a bright white light. I mean, white. It was so bright. And I couldn't figure out where this light source is coming from. I'm like, where is it? I'm like, it's got to be reflected light. There's no light on. But how could it reflect as just like, it looked like a strip. I'd say about 2-inch strip that went really long down the wall. And I'm staring at it, and suddenly right in front of it, I see something pass. Like, right in front of the fucking light. And I ran. Shit. I'm like, damn. Freddie Lockhart saw, like, he's seen chairs get thrown in the main room before.
I know the comedy store has a dark past, right?
Well, I mean,
from what I hear,
mob hits, supposedly abortions upstairs. I don't know if I believe that part, but you know, all this crazy stuff going on, dude.
Man, and it is California, though. So I don't know.
Well, it is Los Angeles, where all the dark arts, a lot of dark arts go down here. I was doing a show with Abby Martin in the belly room. I mean, in the podcast studio. Excuse me. And people say they see an orb floating in the air. Then I was in Edmonton. And I was doing a recording with a fan, and he'd come over, and we were just going to record the whole show. We're just going to record it on my iPhone, right? So the iPhone's right in front of us. I have a screen. I have it flipped so I could see what's being recorded. And we're talking, and I look into it because I'm trying to address the listeners. And in front of me, on the screen, passes something. I go, what? Oh, it was that?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that? And, dude, I'm too afraid to go look back, but I go, did you see that? He goes, no. I go, something just passed in front of us, and it's recorded on there.
Damn, man, that's crazy. That's cool. I'm glad to hear that you have experiences because, you know, like you were saying before, I know this is a conspiracy podcast, and, of course, that type of stuff interests me too, but it's cool to hear your experiences because it's insane, man. You know, I take you for a credible source when it comes to like conspiracies and stuff. I know
Thank you.
So to hear that you are having these paranormal encounters, it just a little more into my notch of, you know, maybe I'm not fucking crazy talking in the dark. to maybe nothing.
Well, dude, you know, here's the whole thing, man. It's just like, they're never, you're probably going to get people laughing at you because you're looking into something that they're too scared to look into. They're chasing dollars, you know, they're not chasing love the way you are in your art. This is obviously very important to you. It involves your mother and, you know, and you've been able to do well enough that it's like allowed you to start a little career that's only going to grow and because it's going to get more and more interesting. Now, as so we're 10 years into this whole thing. So never worry about people who mock you. It's like comedians and hecklers, right? My friend has a great analogy. Said it. His therapist actually told him about, which is kind of funny. But he's like, you know, it's like these people you're entertaining, these critics, these trolls, these everything, they're like chain dogs. And you are a wolf that roams free. And they're jealous of that. You know when dogs fight each other? When one's on a leash and one is not. Because one is really jealous that the other one is allowed to roam free. So when you do your own thing, man, people get really jealous of that. Because they didn't have the fucking nutsack to go out there and go through the rough times and go through the heart, go through the points of questioning your sanity, questioning whether you're going to be able to pay your rent this week, this month, you know? And then at the end, you got to go through it to get to it. And then you hit this nice spot. And I've done it. I mean, I tell people, I've been doing comedy for almost 24 years now. 24 years I will be doing comedy. I think I started in November. It will be 26 years. You know?
Yeah, that's a really good analogy and metaphor.
I didn't make money in this till 24 years in, dog. Think about that. Is there anything in your life outside of a child that you would invest 24 years in with no return? It just doesn't make any sense. I question if I'm an idiot or not, but I'm now in a wonderful place and you got to go through that, you know? And that's the thing. It's my friend told me it's going to get bad before it gets worse, but when it gets worse, it's going to be glorious.
That's what another thing about the paranormal field that sucks is it costs a lot of money because a lot of the locations that we go into, if they're like a commercialized location, they require a cost to get into and it's not cheap. I mean, a lot of the places are $500 a night.
Yeah. I mean, that's almost hotels now. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You just stay in haunted Airbnbs. You know what I'm saying? So you've seen some crazy stuff. What are the craziest or weirdest experiences you ever had?
So I can give you two of the ones that just stand out to me. One of them I can call, all I can call it is a mind fuck. And then one of them is just like an emotional life, literally life changing experience.
All right.
I'll start with the mind fuck. So I was filming this other documentary that it was like a more of an amateur style documentary, not like the one that's coming out. And the premise was I was going to stay in a haunted jail for a whole week completely alone.
Oh,
I stayed
my
in this jail,
God.
All alone for a whole week. Yeah, in the summer in Texas. That was the worst part, honestly.
Oh, my God, dude. That's crazy to me.
You can find it on YouTube. It's called Paranormal Isolation.
I'll watch that, dude. That's crazy.
It's cool, man, and I hope you like it. But, man, I caught some crazy stuff. Well, the last night it was the last night I was there, so the property manager actually came back that night, like while I was getting ready to lay down and leave the next day. And something changed. I was laying on a cot in the old sheriff's office, and right across from the hall, there's a mirror there that a psychic put there that supposedly is like a portal. The psychic is saying it has a bunch of energy. And I'm laying in this cot, and the atmosphere and the feeling and the energy just fucking changed, dude. It just... heavy. I got scared. I got anxious. Like my heart started pounding and I said, there's just something not right. And luckily on this night, I wasn't alone anymore. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a break for a second. I need a break. I went outside and I told Deborah, which she's kind of like my mom to me. And I told her, I said, hey Deb, it's weird in there. Now keep in mind, she runs this place. So she's there every weekend for years. She's been there.
What'd she do? If it's empty, what'd she do? Make sure nobody's...
It's one of those places where people come and they come out for the weekend and they'll spend a week in there, pay money to spend the weekend there, and she runs it. So she takes care of it. And
it's like
she's
an amusement park, a haunted amusement park.
Almost. That's where I was going to take you when you came to Houston.
Oh,
and I said, I'm actually going to a haunted jail tomorrow.
Oh my God, dude, you would blow my mind. It's a haunted Airbnb, huh? They just
pretty much with cells, with cells. So she walks in and she goes, "Man, it's fucking weird in here." And I said, "Yeah, I'm telling you, something strange." So we're talking and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And as we're trying to figure out what's going on, we hear somebody say, "Hello." And she has friends that pop in from time to time that live around in the town. So that was my first instinct. I said, "Was that one of your friends?" You know, and she was like, "No, we looked. Nobody was there." We're like, "This is weird." And then we're trying to figure out what's going on. Yeah, she heard it too. We both heard it super clear.
Wow.
And that's not even the weird part, Sam. Wait till I get to the weird part because this is fucking trippy, man. So we're like, "Fuck, we didn't catch it on film because I turned my cameras off." It's like, son of a bitch, of course. Well, I walk past the next room and laying there is my GoPro and it's recording. But it's just like recording like the wall, but the audio was on. I was like, "Oh, badass, let's listen to it." So we go back and we listen to it and we hear the hello, right? We hear something say hello.
Oh my God.
But wait, then there's 40 seconds of silence that me and her do not remember. So we have 40 seconds of lost time that we don't know what happened. And then you hear us respond to the hello, but we remember hearing the hello and immediately responding. If you were in a room and you heard somebody say hello, you would immediately say, "Yeah, somebody there," you know, you would respond. No, dude, on the video, there's 40 seconds of no response and just pure silence that we did not do.
What do you think that is, a portal?
I don't know, man. It's a mind fuck. That's all I can say. Like, we lost 40 seconds of time. And if we didn't have this camera filming, we would have never known that. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to explain it. She's had people take pictures there at the jail and she's like walking around in the background of the picture, but she wasn't even fucking there, dude. So something is taking the form of her or something and it's in these pictures.
What?
That's, yes, man. I'm telling you, this jail is like the fucking, the weirdest things happen there, man. I don't know if it's like built on some ley line or if it's like built where this a dimension crosses or there's a portal cross. I can't explain it, but just the weirdest things happen at this jail, man.
That's crazy, dude. That's crazy. Do you have one ghost that like stands out more than any of the others? Like you're like, "Oh, the big Leroy Brown, we saw him and he was like," I mean, was one that was just like kind of crazy. I mean, that was last one was crazy, but is there one that like stands out the most?
That was like the most active. I recently went to this place called Oak Park Hotel and it's in Bollinger, Texas. And we were there, this was like last weekend actually, or 2 weeks ago. And this guy, he supposedly haunts there and he gets blamed for hanging some prostitute that used from like the 1800s. Cause this hotel was built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And I don't think he did it. And that's why he's so angry. Because, like, when you ask about it, dude, shit will start popping off. And he's probably one that stands out to me. And there was this other guy. His name was Steve-O. And it's this old bar. Yeah, his name is Steve-O. It's funny. It's this old bar in Baytown, Texas. It used to be a bar slash hotel for seamen. And I'm talking, like, seamen that used to work on the sea.
Yeah. I get it. You know. Yeah.
All right.
My buddy Brian Redband had the greatest joke ever. It was about how, like, along the lines of that. But, like, you know, if places are haunted by people who've died, why isn't Planned Parenthood the most haunted place ever? You know, it was right. Just like,
it probably might be, it probably feels fucking weird in there.
I'm sure.
And his name was Steve-O and he literally like communicated to me to go outside. It was the anniversary of his death day. He was beheaded outside of this bar on the sidewalk by somebody he owed money to. They beheaded him with a knife outside.
Oh my God.
And I got on that recorder. It told me to go outside. So I went outside and he was talking to us on the ghost box and he was just responding to us like over and over again. And it was just cool to see like him literally tell us, "Go outside. I can talk better out there." And then we went outside and he was communicating better. It's insane. All of it on camera too. It's all on camera, all on my YouTube channel.
Any of them ever funny? Any funny ghosts like cracking jokes, busting your balls or anything?
It's funny. I don't want to give it away because I sent you a video that we were going to play where it kind of shows some highlights of some audio captures I got. And the last one is pretty fucking funny, man. So I'll save that one for that. But you catch, you know, they cuss at you. They call you a pussy and and sometimes, and I think they're just probably bitter because they know they're dead and they're just hanging out there in this abandoned building or something. But I've never run into anything like, I would say, like demonic. It's funny because I've been doing this for so long, hundreds and hundreds of investigations, and nothing stuck out to me where I was like, oh man, that's a fucking demon. Like, I think that's just one of those misused things that's not.
So you don't think any of them are maybe demons or dark elements that are coming from that we got from all these like kind of sci-fi shows, you know, like True Blood, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, you see, I think that some of them can be, and they are. I've just never encountered one. And I mean, I've encountered angry spirits. I mean, if you're an angry person in life and then you move on, I mean, why wouldn't you still be the same type of person? So I've encountered people like that, you know, evil, mean spirits, but nothing where I was like, wow, that's demonic. Even in my craziest, you know, life-changing experience, which is kind of a good segue, because I went to this location in Richmond, Texas, and it was an old hotel. Excuse me. And I was doing an EVP session with a group full of people. And out of nowhere, I got like this like weird feeling where I felt like I was like on a boat almost, like waves. And then I had like this lump in my throat as if I was going to like start crying. And it just felt really weird. I felt really off. And the room was pitch black. The only thing that was given light was there was a skyline with like a light pole somewhere was shining light through the skyline. And I'm sitting there and I can see like darkness come around me more. Like it got darker. I don't know how to explain it. It was already dark, but it was darker. It was like dense.
Yeah.
And then my friend across from me, my friend Roman, my cameraman, I said, man, it feels weird. I feel weird and I feel like it's getting darker. And he's like, dude, I see something dark forming around you. And I was like, are you fucking serious?
Oh my God.
And I'm starting to kind of freak out a little bit. And then all of a sudden I like snap and I go in this like weird zone where I just like zone out, and they're like trying to get me out of the room. And I'm like, no, I was ready to fight these people. I was like, I did not want to leave the room. And then it just kind of went on. They finally got me out of the room, and I just felt off the whole time. I had my own thoughts still, but I couldn't control my actions. And I started thinking about I had my own thoughts of my own self saying, man, this is fucking weird. But then I had these weird conflicting thoughts, and it was like telling me to harm people. And it was like my friends right across from me. Sounds insane to say. I literally imagine bashing my friend Karen Skolin with a flashlight. It was just like this angry, aggressive feeling.
Yeah, that's
came over
like
me.
What all the poltergeist stuff is about, and all the, you know, the exorcist, you know, is that these spirits, they basically enter your body and try to take over.
I mean, I could see if you're not a strong-willed person and you don't have any experience in this, how those thoughts could keep on going and keep manifesting. Because, you know, I did the whole thing. I prayed afterwards, and I don't even necessarily know if I believe that, you know, prayer works for stuff like this. But I tried it because I was, like, freaking out. I was panicking.
Yeah.
And I cried on the way home. It was, like, life-changing, life-altering. It was crazy because I watched the TV shows where the people are like, I'm feeling this. And I'm like, I've never felt that for doing as long as I have. I'm like, whatever. It's one of those things you take for granted until you experience it. And when I experienced it, man, it's real. It's intense. And, this stuff is fun, but I will never take somebody that's like younger than like, you know, 21 with me anymore, because I don't think that it's smart. After that experience, it was real, man. I really experienced something.
Where is the, like, is it within your community, right? Is there's agreed upon, like, oh, this is the most haunted city. This is the most haunted place. This is the most haunted area. Is there a consensus among your tribe on maybe this area if you really want to get some action?
Yeah, you know, there's certain spots around the country and, of course, around the world as well. But I mean, there's big name locations that you can go to that a lot of them, they let you like, you know, take some time out. There's some places in California. I think it's in California, like the old Western, those West side of the United States is all Westerns and the Gold Rush. And you have all those spirits. And then Northeast is like where all the mental asylums are. And yeah. Ohio has a bunch of crazy popping places like the Madison Seminary where we filmed the documentary. There's places that are like known, like you have the Amityville house, people, you know, they rate up there at the top. The house in San Jose, the Winchester Mansion, in California. That's one of them. You got Pennhurst Asylum in Pennsylvania. You got, man, there's just so many places. I don't think there's like a general place where everybody's like, that's the place. But everybody has like their own place, like your own wish list, I guess you could say.
Well, you know, it's like Stevie Wiebe and I, Steve Lee, and obviously my old host, Ryan, we wanted to stay at this hotel overnight where this young Asian lady died when somehow she was able to lift the top.
Lisa Lam?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I know they're getting rid of that hotel or they're redoing it or something like that, but I think you can still stay in that room, man. I would love to do something like that for sure, man, for sure.
That would be so much fun. Yeah, and Stevie Wiebe, I love listening to his show because he always talks about this stuff. So it'd be really cool to team up sometime and let you check out my recorder and stuff and see it in person.
How often do you do this?
I try to go once a month, and then with this new documentary team that we built that filmed in Madison, we're going to try to...
I'm going
to
call you guys the boy band of paranormal.
Fuck yeah, dude. I was trying to think of something with NSYNC, but I couldn't think of anything fast enough. But yeah,
we'll get it. We'll try to do it. Yeah,
we'll figure out something. And we're going to try to film 1 to 2 docs a year. That's our goal. Somewhere big, somewhere cool.
That's great. What are the ladies like in your world? I mean, like conspiracy wise, I'm always amazed at what kind of smoke shows are involved in conspiracies. It does. It really blows my mind. I'm like,
it's true,
you know, but I couldn't imagine, yeah. Because women are all about energies. Women are all about going to psychics, you know, which in LA, I honestly think these places are just fronts for cocaine and hand jobs. But apparently some people go to this thing enough to keep them all open. Why Starbucks are closing left and right. The psychic places are open, never closing down, never shutting down. What are the women like of the paranormal movement?
I have a great female on my team. Her name's Karen. Amazing researcher. I mean, she dedicates so much time, and I'll ask her for like a few stories of a location and she'll bring in a booklet of like this much information. But when you do have a smoke show in the field, they're usually like extraordinarily hot because yeah. I think that it adds to them being hot that they do this as well.
Right. I get that. So, I could see how women could do that for sure, man. Man, this is I love it, dude. I want to do so many more of these shows. Cause I just love the whole thing, man. It's just like, I love the spectrum that mm-hmm. when you get into the truth community, conspiracies, like unreported history, like it just makes the world so much more interesting. Like I would rather be in your world a million times more than I'd be in like Rachel Maddow's Russian collusion world or what even, I mean like Fox News can kiss dicks too, you know, like both those, those corporate news and the world they put out, like, and the people that push back against us, you know, and are I hate the word alt, but I'm going to use an all alternative view of the world. And they're mm-hmm. just so on this corporate nipple. I feel bad for them because the world is just so much more interesting. They would even know. And it's just to know that the possibilities of like another realm, a realm in between here and the afterworld and being stuck in that realm and, you know, what that means. Are they afraid to die, those people? They don't want to go to the other side because what's on the other side? And what do you think is on the other side? Have you ever thought about that as we end this show? What do you think about the world that is there an afterlife?
There is something for sure because I have just too much... I don't like using the word evidence because it's not proof of anything really, but there's just too much documented, possible pieces of evidence that I've captured over the years that I would be like a moron to say, it's not real. I started out really skeptical and I still go into locations really skeptical, but I've seen too much. I've heard too much to just say that this is not real because there's something after this and the idea of there not. I can't even wrap my head around. I don't think as human beings we can wrap our head around there being nothing after this.
Have you ever thought about infinity? You ever try to think about infinity and your brain just goes, nope, not even going there. Don't even try it. You just go
can't
like
figure it out.
Go for it, and it's just like I can't. We only have so much time in a day. I can't think about infinity. That's how I really. See, I mean, yeah, it's interesting.
I was having this conversation on my. I have a comedy style podcast where we talk about just random shit, but we always end up bringing up this type of stuff. It's called Not Today Satan Podcast. Shameless plug. And my friend Nick Bermea, he's actually a stand up here in Houston, and we started the show together, and we were talking about this idea. And he was like, yeah, it's just scary to think that there's blackness. And I said, no, dude, there's no blackness. Like, you're thinking
there's
about it wrong.
Nothing.
There's nothing. There's nothing.
Just imagine what you were doing during the Revolutionary War. That's what's going on. You were doing nothing. There was nothing. There's just nothing. It's not even like you're watching TV. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
And that thought scares me. And I think that's what drives me to continue doing what I'm doing. It's kind of comforting in a weird way.
I don't know, man. Like, you know, my buddy just passed away, killed himself, Brody Stevens. And I think of the pain he was in and makes me super sad. And I would never kill myself. I think the world is a wonderful, wonderful place. But when that day comes when, you know, whatever runs the simulation is like, Sam, you've had a good time. You're an old man now. You're 1,000 years old, however long I live to. You know, whatever that is, you know, I'll be like, okay, man, had a great run. What's next?
Yeah.
And if he's like, nothing, I'm like, okay, thanks for the time. And I don't know why people, I you know, the guy who we had who wants to become a robot, I'm like, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of, man? I don't, man. I think we only have a little bit of time here, even if it's, you look at 100-year-old people, do they look like they've been here? They're having a wonderful time. It's how do you fill that time that you're here? That's amazing. And man, this just opens up a whole bunch of stuff. If you get out to LA, let's hang out. Let's figure out something. Maybe I can still bring back the Comedy Store thing. I'll pressure them a little bit more. Tell them we'll take out all the insurance we can. Maybe we'll see if one of the security guards there that is into it, he'll hang out with us, make sure we don't do anything, even though it's Mecca and it's a cathedral and I would never hurt the Comedy Store. So we'll see, man. We'll see, JP.
Cool,
plug
man.
All
That'd
your
be awesome.
Shit, dude. Plug all your shit right now.
Yeah, if you want to check out Madhouse documentary, just we do most of our stuff on Facebook, and just check it out. You can find us at facebook.com/madhousefilm, I believe. But if you just type in Madhouse Paranormal on the search bar, it'll come up, I'm sure. And also, if you enjoy like comedy style podcasts or just like cool hangout podcasts, Not Today Satan podcast with my friend Nick Bermea. But those are the two things I really love doing. And like you said, just trying to keep going and enjoying this life, man.
All right, JP, you're a G, my friend. You're a G. I appreciate you. Shout out to all those ghosts out there. And we'll do this again soon. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I appreciate you.
Cool, man. Appreciate it.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great show. Looking forward to the next one. It's going to be a great week of talk. And we'll talk to you guys all soon. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Take care.